You're listening to a WOSU Public Media podcast. Everything you hear is funded by listeners like you. Become a member of WOSU Public Media today and support digital content like Snollygoster and the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast. Make a gift at WOSU.org.
Good morning. Welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to have your company. Thank you. And especially delighted to devote this hour to the Wexner Center for the Arts, that iconic building at the center of The Ohio State University campus off High Street, a building that has a national reach and program that has certainly an international reach. We have three people closely associated with the Wexner Center to, if it's necessary in this hopefully post-pandemic world, not quite, to reintroduce the Wexner Center to the community. Let me welcome Johanna Burton, the executive director of the Wexner Center for the Arts. Since we began planning this program a couple of months ago, there have been some news with Johanna Burton that she will share with us later in the show. Dion Custer Edwards is director of learning and public practice at the Wexner Center. She's also a poet, a performer. She has worked locally, and she has a very, very wide reach in this community, certainly. And it's delightful to welcome Kelly Kivlin to Columbus and to the Wexner Center, who's been with us since August. She is the chief curator and director of exhibitions at the Wexner Center. Kelly comes to us from the DIA Foundation in New York under three different sites in New York, at least. And I want to begin by asking, all of you to respond to a definition I've seen about the Wexner Center, which is a multidisciplinary contemporary art laboratory at The Ohio State University. What does that mean? Who wants to go first?
I guess I'll jump in.
Johanna Burton.
Great to be here again. And you were one of the first folks I spoke to when I arrived in Columbus. So it's great to be back on the show and with these amazing colleagues of mine. I'll just briefly say that the Wexner was opened its doors in 1989. It is one of the first and remains, I think, one of the most committed multidisciplinary art centers in the country and even the world. So when we say multidisciplinary, we do exhibitions. We have a great exhibition up right now, which I hope we will talk about later in the show. We also have a wide and really kind of impressive department that attends to performing arts in all of its forms, so theater and dance and music, and then a film and video department, which in addition to showing incredible films and hosting incredible filmmakers, also houses a real gem of the Wexner Center for the Arts, which is a film kind of post-production studio where artists from all over the world come and complete their films and put those out into the world. There's something like 600 films that have been touched fundamentally by the Wexner Center for the Arts. And then very importantly, always education has been a huge part of what the Wexner Center does. But in the last few years since my arrival, we have really kind of made that its own programmatic area. And so that is learning and public practice, which Dion will talk about, and I think is a really good kind of fourth area that will, as we turn to what museums are doing these days, who they're responsible to, what they're listening for, is a really important kind of fourth leg to the table. So I don't know if anyone else wants to add on to the multidisciplinary aspect.
Let me ask you, Johanna, while I have you here. The pandemic has been devastating to everyone worldwide, and certainly the arts are not excepted. I'm assuming the Wexner was closed when we were on lockdown, certainly. It is open now, is my understanding. What's been the legacy? What have you had to work through as we try to emerge from those days, apropos of the Wexner Center?
I would say, what haven't we had to work through might be the answer to that. We did close, as many museums did, last in March of 2020. We, though, because we are multidisciplinary, were able to very proudly continue to support the artists we had already committed to working with. We work with living artists, and living artists didn't stop working during the pandemic. In fact, their work became more crucial than ever. We did close the galleries. We were able to postpone a really important show, Climate Changing, curated by Lucy Zimmerman, with over 20 artists and collectives that opened over a year later than it was meant to. But during the time of our closures, we, as I mentioned, continued to not only support artists, but our audiences and our community. So we actually, believe it or not, did more programming than we would have done on a non-pandemic year, most of it online. But really, really committing to, again, being flexible, being hybrid. The staff worked incredibly hard to find platforms to do online screenings and discussions and performances and talks. Education was out in the community, both in person and online. So we pivoted, we learned a lot. And as we move into this not quite post-pandemic period, I think we're taking a lot of those lessons with us. We're thinking a lot about who we were able to reach that we otherwise couldn't. We're hopeful. And as I said before, we just opened a show, which maybe someone else, Kelly, can talk about in a moment, of an incredible painter, Jacqueline Humphreys. And the galleries are open and people are delighted to be in them. So I don't know, Kelly, if I should hand it off to you to talk about Jacqueline, maybe Christopher would.
Let me ask Kelly, first of all, because you are new in Columbus, why did you want to come to the Wexner Center? What have you found here about the center and the community?
That's a great question, Christopher. And thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here and incredibly honored to be in the company of Johanna and Dion. I think it has a lot to do with your first question. This idea of the laboratory was really appealing to me as someone that was coming from an institution that had a long history in collecting as well as commissioning new work. I really wanted to be a part of more of the thinking around a process and research-based place like the Wexner, something that is the program rather that is multidisciplinary and has been from the very beginning, that is really thinking about contemporary and current issues that are facing all of us, really, not just the arts, but us as people, as humanity. And that I felt that was really the most compelling aspect to the Wexner and always has been to me. It's been a center that is really has we all look to in our field as a place that is ahead, really looking at progressive programs and is engaged in dialogue with not just the local and national community, but the international community as well. So it is a place that I've always held in high esteem and was just really incredibly honored to become a part of it.
Now, if if I were to walk into the Wexner Center, and I probably will when we get off the air at noon, I'll probably walk over there. What would I see today?
Today?
Yeah.
Well, I think we've just spoken about the wonderful exhibition that just opened last Saturday, a solo exhibition that's inhabited the entire exhibition spaces and galleries, a work by Jacqueline Humphreys that spans the last 7 years of her practice. She is very much, as we've been stating, a vanguard artist within the New York community, the national community, a painter primarily. Her work over the last 7 years has dealt with a lot of contemporary issues, especially around technology and the incorporation of the digital screen within our own lives. And that has it's definitely seen within the work that you'll experience in the galleries. Very large scale, it really engages with the architecture of the space as well. She worked with the curator, Mark Godfrey, to really think through the various spatial aspects of the galleries. They are unusual galleries, as those have been to the Wexner know. A lot of it is, a lot of the work is really engaging with what might be idiosyncratic natures of the spaces, playfully, critically, but more than anything in a really innovative way. Alongside that, there is, of course, a fantastic bookshop that we should not ever overlook. I love stopping in there myself. And there's a lot of activity that isn't seen. We have, a lot of programs forthcoming that are restarting around for performing arts. There is an artist in residence this last week. I think she's going to be in residence again next week. We have an open house next week that Dion can speak to. There's a lot happening.
Speaking of,
I should note later on tonight, Moviola will be performing at 8 p.m. So
there you go.
that is a local, they're, you know, folks know them as maybe an indie band. I think it will be exciting because I think there's going to be some expansive artists that will join them tonight. And that should be a great show. And Heirloom is open. Heirloom.
Yeah, Heirloom. Yes. Yes.
And you get the chance to be in Mershon, both in an intimate setting with Moviola, but also so you can sit as far apart from everybody as you wish, but you also get this great experience of live music. So to sort of also respond to your pandemic question, Christopher, we're using our spaces in really inventive ways too. So this is a great way to actually get people to see live performance, but also do it really safely because we have this amazing, 2,500 person auditorium we can use.
Well, I think that's the laboratory. I think that's also right. Cause that we are constantly experimenting and really supporting artists as they are thinking through really our lives and topics, really critical topics, and really sort of that support and making space to be able to experiment and to be able to try things out that maybe they would not be able to in other ways at other spaces.
That was Dion Custer Edwards speaking to us, who is the director of learning and public practice at the Wexner Center. Kelly Kivland was recently named chief curator and director of exhibitions, and Johanna Burton is the executive director of the Wexner Center. That is the focus of today's program on All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. Kelly Kivland, I just wanted to finish up with you for this segment for a moment. Your title is chief curator and director of exhibitions. What does that mean?
Well, it's twofold. So the chief curator aspect, I believe, would really pertain to more of the programming, the content, what you'll see and feel and hear, experience in the galleries themselves. And also, I'm looking to outside of the boundaries of the WEX as well, on campus and in the community too. The director of exhibitions really pertains to what is our incredible team of those that really support both the scheduling, the logistics, the installations, the registration around our collection, as well as in terms of the work that you see in the gallery. So there is both a sort of a programming content hat and then also a more sort of infrastructural logistical hat as well.
We're going to take a break in just a moment, not quite yet. When we come back, I want to speak at length with Dion Custer Edwards and talk about the public practice and learning, which to me is outreach. It's getting it out there in the community and bringing people into the building as well. And talk more with Johanna Burton, who is the executive director of the Wexner and who has some news that she's been sharing with us that we'll want to talk about. She's going to give us some content as well. But Kelly Kivland, did you know anything about Columbus before you moved here?
I did. So I'm from the Midwest. I'm from the Chicago area, but I have a lot of family that live in Ohio. My mother's from Cleveland originally, so I have a lot of extended family in Cleveland, and I even have some family in Columbus. So I visited a couple of times. It was years ago, I have to admit, but there is always been, of course, with the WEX's reputation in our field, but that coupled with the fact that I always had a desire to really get back to the Midwest, be a part of the conversations that were so formative to my early years. I moved to New York when I was in my mid-20s, but always had the desire to come back. And that was really very much central to my movement forward. And I didn't know a whole lot about Columbus, but I'm learning and I'm really excited to be here. It was exciting to just be a part of a city that's rapidly changing, you know, for good and bad, but in ways that I really want to engage with and think about. I love the community I've already met. I knew that there was a lot of artists, writers, thinkers that are based here. All of that really contributed to my interest in being a part of the community.
Well, welcome to you. We're going to take a break and come right back and talk more with the movers and shakers at the Wexner Center. Don't go away. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. Thank you for your company. Today we are talking about the Wexner Center for the Arts, that wonderful building on High Street at the height of, facing High Street on the height of, at the heart of the Ohio State University campus. Johanna Burton is here, the executive director of the Wexner Center for the Arts. Kelly Kiffland is the chief curator of the Wexner Center. And Dion Custer Edwards is director of learning and public practice. And Dion is on YouTube, as are my other two guests. She's on YouTube doing drumversations with Mark Lomax, one of my favorite people, in a TEDx talk you did called Beautiful Distractions. So there's a lot we'd love to know more about Dion Custer Edwards. You also studied here in Central Ohio. Director of Learning and Public Practice, what does that mean?
Does that mean? Well, essentially, it's education. But I think sometimes education can, similar to the talk I did around beautiful distractions in 21st century learning, education can kind of get lumped in and it can become so big. It is so big. It's all encompassing that we don't really know what that means. And so learning in public practice allows us to be able to think about, well, what does it mean to be involved in activities that are teaching, that are learning, that are sort of working with other individuals out in the community or even within the space. So public practice is very much an activated kind of way of thinking about teaching and learning and outreach and engagement.
One thing I can promise anybody who walks into the Wexner Center on any given day, you will never, capital N, never be bored. Ever. You may see something you don't like, you may see something you don't understand, but you will never be bored. And that's a great reason to keep coming back. I'm pleased that WOSU has a new building, so we're going to be close neighbors. We're going to be literally right across the street, which is wonderful for me and wonderful for a lot of my colleagues as well, when you have to get away from headsets and microphones and go look at something fantastic. All you have to do is cross the street. Dion, coming back to you, there are two programs that I know about that you are central to or working very closely with. One is the Shoemate Council, and I'd like to know more about that. That I assume is Alex Shoemate, who is one of the board members of the Wexner Center. What is the council?
Yeah, the Shoemate Council is really a sort of organized group of people that are interested in engaging with the Wexner Center for the Arts and have been. It's been around for over 10 years now. And Alex and Renee Shoemate, with a generous endowment, really kind of grounded the Shoemate Council to be able to engage very intentionally with people who identify as African-American or Black American of the African diaspora and allow for a sort of consistent thread of engagement for people who were maybe not finding their way into the space. Alex thought that there was something that he could do to get sort of more engagement from people who identified as he does as well.
We were talking about, whenever you talk about the Wexner Center, the one thing people know about is they recognize the building. They're talking about the architecture, but I want to get to the thrust of what goes on inside the building. And in terms of what you're talking about, Dion, and you also, Kelly, alluded to this, what's going to be happening outside the building that's connected to the Wexner Center? Is that fair, Dion, that you're working in other spaces as well?
Yes, that is fair. Actually, a great bit of our work in learning and public practice is in the community. And I think sometimes people don't realize that, and that can sometimes be under the radar, and I hope that we can really sort of talk more candidly and widely about so much of the work that we're doing out in the community. For instance, we have a new partnership with the Linden Community Center that will be starting up that will offer free art studios for people of all ages. We have worked over the years with agencies and organizations that are serving sort of critical needs. Some might think of these agencies or organizations as kind of social service kinds of organizations that are looking at sort of homelessness or houselessness or sort of housing insecurity, working with youths that are sort of maybe moving through sort of identities and sort of thinking about sort of ways that they're showing up in the world. We've We've worked with organizations that are working with individuals around mental health, organizations that are working with people with disabilities, and so and also schools. We have a sort of very robust sort of school programming. Pages is a part of that. Many folks might be familiar with our sort of literacy and writing and arts program Pages, but we are all over town and even beyond, all throughout the state doing programming, whether it's in schools, whether it's in communities, partnering with artists that are really sort of looking to say, yes, we would love for you to come into the building. There are plenty of reciprocal ways that we're working with communities too, where they do come to the building, but there's also people that may never have a chance to come to the building. And so you should still be able to experience really the best of what the WEX does. And so we actually go out into the community and are very hands-on with community members and working with artists to provide programming. All of it is free.
I wanted to ask you, Dionne, when you're talking about this kind of outreach and you're moving away from the building, you're going to where people are, the people that you want to serve. What, related to your programs, can you do to empower someone who is experiencing homelessness, who is experiencing recovery from addiction, who is experiencing poverty, et cetera? How can what goes on at the Wexner, what they represent, what they present, empower those people and maybe lift them up, if that's fair?
It's interesting because we received that question. We were at a meeting even a couple of weeks ago, and that same question, what in the world does art have to do with someone who is hungry or someone who is where they live, that there's insecurity in terms of where someone sleeps at night or there's mental health kinds of issues. And I'd like to think that art and making and you know, ideas around creativity and innovation are very sort of human conditions, if you will. They remind us that we're breathing. And I think that because we present fine art and there's lots of different kinds of experimentation that we do with art that people sort of maybe think of it as unattainable or I can't reach it or there's a mystique to it in some ways. And I think that's just not true. There's a lot of artists that we work with, whether they're presenting in the galleries or on our stages, on our screens, artists that we're working with in residence. And it is a beautiful full slate of artists that we're working with. It's just a really wide slate of artists we're working with in residence that are really interested in working with people that are in the community that are dealing with all kinds of different sorts of life circumstances. All of us have been impacted by the social conditions, and we believe that art can be a part of just reminding ourselves. I think Kelly alluded to this earlier, that we are human, that we are breathing, that we are here, that somehow we are connected. We might be strangers, there might be hardship, there might be all sorts of kinds of things that people are dealing with every day. Somehow art reminds us that that we are very human. It is the evidence of our humanity. It is in many ways the evidence of our culture.
Dionne Custer Edwards is the Director of Learning and Public Practice at the Wexner Center and clearly a very important evangelist for the arts locally and hereabouts and wider than that. Kelly Kivland is the Chief Curator and the Director of Exhibitions. I want to make the point to make sure everybody understands that the Wexner Center embraces what you see, what you hear, what you watch. They embrace music. They embrace dance. They embrace the visual arts. They embrace forms of artistic expression that may be unexpected. I mean, electronic media, you name it. If it's worth seeing, it's there. I know that past artists in residence at the Wexner Center have included Mikhail Baryshnikov and Twyla Tharp and the City Company, which is a great theater company, one of my favorite organizations, have long had homes at the Wexner Center. Kelly Kivland, in terms of what the curator and director of exhibitions does, do you have a hit list of what you'd like to be bringing to town?
Well, it's great that you asked that. I mean, right now I've been here about a month and a half. Actually, I've been in Columbus just over a month. So my main priority was to really get to meet people in person, get to understand and know the community, travel around and feel what is Columbus. I think that was essential to any movement forward in the program and thinking around the program at large. you know, there's a list that will soon to begin. I think right now what we know well is that we're going to be really focused on introspection, you know, thinking through decentralization also of the center and program, just as Dion has been speaking to, really take her lead and think about that as well within the work that we're doing in the exhibitions and curatorial department. Also thinking about engaged duration. So how we can be working with artists in the way that the WEX has in the past through residencies and through new commissions and meeting them where they're at in their practice. Maybe it's a pivotal point for them. Maybe they need, you know, the space and time to really think through with a group of people making that leap, or how we can also serve them with resources and other means. And then also collaboration. I think that's high on my list, is really to think about not just collaborating amongst the different departments at the WEX and my amazing colleagues that I'm just getting to know, but I'm already incredibly impressed by, but on campus and within the community as well. So while the hit list of particular names of artists is and will come, and also what that program might be, right now I'm really just focused on the things I just spoke to and how that can be sort of the foundation and base for moving forth the program that we want to really instill and commit to over the next coming years.
Well, I'm going to let you unpack and maybe hang the pictures on the walls in your new home before I ask you more of that again. But that's a great reason, one of many great reasons to have you back on the program, Kelly Kidlin. But for now, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Johanna Burton, the executive director of the Wexner Center, I want to ask you, I should have asked you this question at the top of the show, but I wanted to meet Dion and Kelly, because we hadn't had them be on before. But Johanna, could you give us a context of where the Wexner Center is in the world of the arts, of the visual, of the media arts, et cetera? Where just sort of paint a world picture for us with the WEX at the center, if you could.
Sure. I'm happy actually to keep it right at the center where it should be. I think the Wexner Center has always been and continues to be a place that, as Kelly noted, is willing to take the risks of going into territory that maybe isn't actually quite nameable. I always find that that museums that are willing to do things where people don't have a name yet to define those things, that means that you're doing something right. So even the idea that we're multidisciplinary, I think, is something that we should hold up and ask questions about. It is true that the four pillars that we talked about are really key for artists, but a lot of artists actually don't define themselves that way, as a painter, as right. a sculptor, as a filmmaker. And so I think making sure that we are a place that never sort of rests its laurels and continues to ask questions about the nature of what we do is the thing that I continue to just find so astounding about the center and the people who work there. So, though the center has been open for more than 30 years, and it has kind of offered a model that I think has been picked up actually widely, you're seeing more conventional museums across the United States, you know, incorporate performance in a more intentional way. I still think we do it in a sense differently, because we have made a point of not saying we're a visual arts museum that also does performance, or we are a film center that also hangs gallery shows. And I think some of the evidence of that comes from the artists that choose to work with us again and again and again. In some cases, we have artists who've come back over 30 years to do multiple projects with us. And I think it's also evidenced in the way that we, for instance, recently leaned into, Dion's actually been at the WEX for 15 years, doing this really hard and important education work. So focusing on that and centering it in a way where it's the same work, but actually giving it a different kind of platform. And maybe we'll talk more about how some of that work, I think, aligns to the second point I would want to make, which is places like the WEX can be responsive to the world. So it's not a generic idea of art actually being something that's good for people or lifts them up or makes them feel good. It does do all those things. But the artists that we work with also say, hey, I actually have a crucial role in reflecting the world back to itself and commenting on ways forward. And so we often show work, as you said, Christopher, that's really difficult. Some of it's extremely joyful, but other aspects of it remind us of the work we need to do as citizens. And so I feel in this next era of the WEX, and to kind of get back to your question, what the WEX is doing that I think lots of museums are grappling with is, what does it mean to be a museum? right now at this moment in the world, when not only are we still in a pandemic, but we are experiencing the most, I think, important racial reckoning, certainly of my lifetime, and I think of many people's, and how to make sure that we don't forget that that's part of the work, and that we have a really, I think, vital and instrumental role in being responsible to that. So on the outside, there's the programming and the way that we actually kind of convey that. And we say to artists, please come work with us. This is a space to do that work. But it's also a bit of a reckoning internally. So we are doing a ton, Kelly, I think, mentioned this, a ton of internal work you can't see, working with our staff, working to really think about, again, the place, the role that we can play as a center with a kind of ecosystem of folks who work together and believe in the role that the arts play. So I would say that to me is both exciting and also really hard. So I think those of us in the arts right now have to really think about the ongoing kind of long game around some of these questions. And I think the WEX has done an amazing job of that and continues to be a place that can do that work, partially because it is in the center. It is in a test city. I love that, right? We are Test City USA, but also on a campus where I think the mandate is to experiment and take risks and to think together. So I couldn't be more passionate about that work. And I am so grateful to have an amazing team of folks that are similarly aligned around that work on the leadership level and actually on every level of the staff.
That is the role of a university too, is to foster debate. Foster That's argument, right. Foster debate, foster conversation. And in terms of the racial problems, the racial horror in this country, which is, it's not new, but it's become capital C conversation recently. And I think the center and the arts have a lot to do about keeping that conversation going. I don't know if they can ultimately solve anything, but certainly keep it going. Dion, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, I was just going to note that I think we're asking hard questions about what does it mean to be public? What does it mean to be a public space for the publics? Who are the publics? Who comes here? Who traditionally has come here? Who doesn't come at all, right? To museums, not even just the Wexner Center for the Arts, but I think this is a national and international conversation that we're having. We are an institution situated as a part of an institution that is also involved in activities of sort of knowledge creation, right? Of research, of teaching and learning. And so what does it mean to be situated at a university campus that is robust with scholarship and sort of academic kinds of activities? What is that responsibility to the university? I think we're thinking about that. There are things that we need to think about in terms of our collaborators being right here as a part of the university and saying there is scholarship that's happening that's really important, that really will sort of fuel and feed into some of these hard kinds of inquiries that we are making and conversations that we're having and then doing, right? I think sometimes people don't always associate the arts with being activity that is doing, but making is doing and being and existing and reminding us that there is something that we can, yes, we will talk about these issues, but we will also do things about these issues. We will disrupt, we will intervene, we will do those kinds of activities. And really, I think situated, being on a university campus to discuss these kinds of have these hard conversations, but then also be able to do and to have activity and to be invested in beyond the conversation.
And watching and listening is also doing, which you can do at the Wexner Center. We have to take a break. We're going to come back with one more segment with my guests from the Wexner Center for the Arts. Don't go away. We are back for our final segment on today's edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. We're talking about the Wexner Center for the Arts with Dion Custer-Edwards, Director of Learning and Public Practice, Kelly Kivlin, the Chief Curator and Director of Exhibitions at the Wexner Center, and Wexner Center's Executive Director, Johanna Burton. There I was, minding my own business, reading the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, when I come across a headline that says, Johanna Burton is designated to lead Los Angeles Museum. So there, Johanna Burton is leaving us. She is going to become the Director of the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles. A disappointment to us, but I'm not surprised that they would have hunted your head and they won. And that sounds like a wonderful and dynamic new challenge for you, Johanna. So I would like you to talk about your time at the Wexner Center and then look forward with us and sort of take us to a little bit of visit to the Los Angeles Museum of Contemporary Art.
Yes, so it is big news. I'm still processing it myself. I would say without hesitation that the last almost 3 years of my life in Columbus and at the Wex have been among the best, even though they've also been among the worst in history, just in terms of the kind of level of intensity and crisis management that was involved over the last few years. I think everybody in the arts can attest to the challenges, but also the great efficiency with which we all identified the need for the arts, which we started to get to, and that actually feels tremendous. I also feel that, again, in terms of the dual pandemic, in particular the racial reckoning side of things, that this is a great move forward and that there is no longer the possibility of people sort of acting like we shouldn't be having that conversation, or it can happen in education departments or elsewhere. So I have had the pleasure and the privilege of leading an institution during a really difficult time, which I actually also find to be it's 3 years that feel like 30 in some ways. And I have become very close to the people around me at the center. We've navigated challenges professionally, but personally too. And I think, again, there's something quite striking about the ways that that work has, I think, primed us for the next chapter. One big thing that I did that I'm really proud of was infrastructural, which was to change the leadership model of the museum so that there's this incredible cabinet or C-suite of senior leaders. Two of them are here on this call. So I believe deeply that an institution should never actually be representative of a single person's power or impact. And so leaving the center in these amazing hands of a group of people that I think more or less will keep things moving forward, again, questioning all the way, feels really good. The future for me is, I think you may remember, Christopher, from the West Coast. I'm actually from Nevada. It's not LA. I recognize that there's a difference. But there's an amazing community of artists and thinkers in LA. Also, you know, interestingly, one of the pulls for me of the Wexner Center for the Arts was that it was on a campus. So part of this really rigorous intellectual context. And the LA art scene is also embedded in schools. The Museum MoCA itself is not part of an academic campus, but it is part of a really clear community who cares about how artists participate in teaching and learning and thinking and practicing. So I would say this is not the last you'll see of me. These are colleagues for life on this call and at the center. And I suspect that we'll be in close contact about programming and all else. But MoCA has an incredible history. It's an artist. It was actually an institution started by artists for artists, which is something that I think is very special. And it's embedded in that city in a way that that I can't wait to be a part of. So that's on the docket in about a month, actually.
Well, you're packing as Kelly Kivlin is unpacking, so I guess you can share boxes or whatever. I don't know that, but part of the legacy that you leave us, Johanna Burton, in Columbus, are these two women who are joining us on the program today, Dionne Custer Edwards and Kelly Kivlin. Kelly Kivlin, as the chief curator and the director of exhibitions, as somebody new in town, looking forward, I've asked you for your hit list, and you talked about basically what the museum is going to do. One thing I've noticed, correct me if I'm wrong, but in my visits to the Wexner Center, very often if you go into a gallery that looks like it's set up for painting, you'll see paintings, but you won't only see paintings. The various genres live very well side by side. You may see something multimedia, you may see a film loop being run or whatever, but there's no such thing as a really tightly structured gallery that's just one thing and then just another. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my impression. And is that something that you want to work with?
I think what you're speaking to is the sort of embracing of different mediums and modalities by artists, that what, and that has really been central to what the Wax has done and embraced over the last 30 years. Definitely, I'm going to continue to really work with our team. We have an amazing team, as you've been hearing, not only in our exhibitions department, but also throughout the center, to think about, you know, what are these different modalities and modes of thinking today? You know, there is a real responsibility that we have to be considering what it means to curate in a public space, both interior and exterior, and how do we meet artists in their approach to that prompt? And that, I think, is going to be across both the digital means. You know, we also are going to really embrace, which we already had been during the pandemic, a more digital outreach and digital programming that is going to include certainly different modes of approach, as I guess what I was saying, and interdisciplinary and all of its different manifestations. So sometimes the galleries might just be a single artist presentation, as it is right now with Jacqueline Humphreys, or it might be a collection of different work, different artist investigations, or their own response to the galleries. I think that that's the one thing I would highlight, is we are going to really invite more artists here and have them come experience Columbus, experience the campus and the WEX, and really respond to and take in and think about how they would want to engage in dialogue with the spaces, but also the people that they're surrounded with.
One of the points I want to make is that I'm sure a lot of people do come to see specific exhibitions, but walk in any day, you know, I mean, walk in any day. There's all kinds of wonderful experience you can have to see and hear in the Wexner Center, and you will and you will certainly most of us at least will see something that we didn't know existed, and that's what I want at this point in my life. I mean, I really want something that I've never seen before, and there's a lot out there that I haven't seen yet, so I really want to take advantage of that, and the Wexner Center for the Arts is the place to go. Sometimes I think if you live in Columbus and you've lived here for many years, it's like living in New York and I've never been on top of the Empire State Building, and I've never been in the Statue of Liberty, and I've lived in New York for 40 years. Sometimes I think that people who've lived in Columbus for a long time have yet to set foot in the Wexner Center. Trust me, if you want to be hyped up or really provoked in a wonderful way, you want to walk into that building sometime and take advantage of what is there. I have a question for Dion. I was looking through the materials that I found on you, and I want to ask you about pages. That sounds terrific. What is pages?
Well, as you alluded to earlier, Christopher, I am an artist. I'm a writer, and I'm also trained as a musician. That shows up in my practice.
And you sing, too.
I do sing.
Yes, you do.
Don't tell anybody. So, you know, that shows up in my practice. I really want, and I'm very much interested in learning spaces. And so Pages is a huge arts partnership with schools from all over Central Ohio and beyond. We have a few schools. We have one school that I'm thinking of in particular that is an hour away, and then schools that are 20 minutes away. And it's a huge arts partnership that really looks to collaborate with K-12. We work in high schools, so we work with students that are really about to go out into the world and ask the kinds of questions we were just talking about earlier. We'd like to engage with those students before they go out into the world. And we'd like to expose them to tools that artists are using to ask those same kinds of questions. And Pages is less about thinking that someone will be an artist, although we welcome that. It's more of how might we think about these issues in ways that other disciplines maybe do not. It's not available in maybe other disciplines. And so to really bring arts integration into learning spaces so that we can, in Pages, we write all year long, and we have an artist in residence that joins us, or sometimes multiple artists in residence that join us for a year and work with teachers all over Central Ohio to write. And so that's an example of the kind of work that we're doing in schools and communities, and it's just, I don't know, it's a huge partnership, it's collaboration, it's movement, it's thinking.
Yeah, but you did mention there's a writing component there, and one of the things that's really a gift about in K through 12 as well, so you are also on one end working with little kids. And when you work with little kids, you very often, it's true everywhere, sometimes you get to see the light go on. And that's a really wonderful gift to be able to do that. As you say, they may not end up being artists or performers, but they're going to be thinking about things in a different way if you expose them enough to something that's provocative and beautiful at the same time. Provocative and beautiful, that sounds like a nice mantra for the Wexner Center. I don't mind telling you. I think that sounds pretty good. Provocative.
We're going to write that down,
Christopher. Depending on how, and there are many ways to define beauty. Let's face it. There are different ways to define beauty there. We only have a few moments left, and I want to ask each of you again to sort of point us to the future of the Wexner Center, to let us know what's going on. I want to review again, Dion, maybe you could do this for us. Talk about the concert tonight. Again, let's review the concert tonight that's happening.
Yeah, if I can kind of talk a little bit about a few things that are coming up maybe across the area. So we definitely have Performing Arts has a concert tonight, has a show tonight, Moviola at 8 p.m. We've got the Wex Open House next week, which is really going to showcase not only all of the artistic areas at the Wexner Center, but we're also in partnership with several of the arts areas that are at the university. Namely the OSU School of Music, OSU Department of Dance, and then we're working with some local artists and also students for the open house. We've got a really great sort of series of film programming that's coming up this fall, including there's a Michael Schultz retrospective, and that's in conjunction with the Will Haygood book. He has a new book coming out this fall, Colorization, and really is very much about film. There'll be a conversation between Haygood and Schultz this fall, and also a free masterclass directing for television. We have our favorite series, Unorthodox, which is a series of documentary films from filmmakers from all across the globe. So we're excited about that. And of course, we have lots of education programming, and the Jacqueline Humphreys exhibition is up through January 2nd. Our galleries, I should say, are free after 4 p.m. on Fridays and free all day on Sundays, thanks to American Electric Power. So, yeah, come visit.
And I want to make sure we don't forget to mention the wonderful film programs at the Wexner Center and the Film Theater and the work of Dave Philippi, your terrific film curator as well. And the performing arts going on at the Wexner Center. And Kelly, again, invite us to see the current exhibition again. Just review that, what's going on now with Jacqueline's work. Who is she? What are we looking for when we go and see her work currently at the Wexner Center?
Absolutely. Jacqueline Humphreys has been making work for many decades, and this is her first major museum exhibition. So you will be seeing a first, really, at the Wex with this large body of work that covers a lot 7 years of her practice. It is an exhibition that's throughout the galleries, and she is a painter, but is engaging with various influences and references in her work, namely over the last 7 years, that of technology, and as I mentioned, sort of screen culture and how we spend our days typing and engaging with screens. So that you'll see present in the work by way of emojis and captchas and things that we all have come to recognize as being quite normal in our life. She's incorporating that as well into her practice. But it is her first museum show, major museum show. So we welcome you here. There are some public programs in October. There is a conversation or a lecture performance rather that Dion is working on with Jacqueline Humphreys and Felix Bernstein at the end of October, October 27th, I believe. And the next exhibition that will be opening after this is a show by my colleague, curated by my colleague Daniel Marcus, called To Begin Again, A Prehistory of the Wex, 1968 to 1989. And it really speaks to all of the activity around campus to galvanize and really support and commission both bringing artists here to make new work, but also how they engaged in campus and many of the social and political currents of that particular time period, and how it has then now folded into what is the WEX collection that hasn't really been brought forth in many, many years.
So Kelly, I'm sorry, we're running out of time, so I have to thank you for that and just make sure everybody knows Kelly Kivland is the Chief Curator and Director of Exhibitions, Dion Custer Edwards, Director of Learning and Public Practice at the Wexner Center. Joanna Burton, you get the last word because you're leaving us, you're going on to wonderful things, and you're going to come back and visit. Joanna Burton, last word.
Last word, I would just say thank you so much to you, Christopher, but also to everyone at the WEX. And again, just wanting to point out our amazing colleagues, Dave Philippi in film video, Lane Chaplinsky in performing arts, Kelly in exhibitions, and Dion at the head of the education, learning, and public practice area. But to everybody in the center, I have to say it's been an incredible run, and I really hope people will visit often and look these fine folks up. I can't wait to come back and visit you in Columbus.
Don't be a stranger. Go pack your boxes. You can get boxes from Kelly Kivland, who's unpacking her boxes. Thank you very much, Joanna Burton, Kelly Kivland, and Dion Custer Edwards. And I always say Dave Philippi's name wrong. It's Dave Philippi. Thank you, Dave. I'm Christopher Purdy. We talked about the Wexner Center today. My thanks to Bobby Gerberic, who ran the board for us. My thanks to Marcus Charleston. My thanks to Matthew Rand. This is his last day with us at All Sides. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you all for listening. I'm Christopher Purdy.